Welcome in to the last edition of Chief Central, because today was the last training camp practice for the Kansas City Chiefs. This show existed to bring you everything you needed to know from St. Joe. Not a rhyme that I created on purpose, but the rhyme that has defined this show to its core. This is the last one. Now, I'm going to be over here just plenty, so don't you worry about it. I'll be around. I'm not going anywhere yet. Maybe I get killed at some point in a tragic accident. I don't know. Charlie just did the darn sort of like arm swing with a finger snap. I'm not going anywhere. But this is the last edition of Chief Concerns. Chief Central. Chief Concerns, I think, will be back next week. And I'm doing Sports Night tomorrow and Chiefs postgame on Friday. I'm going to be around here in these evenings in these 8-10 spicy streets. But tonight's the last edition of Chief Central. And today we're going to hear from Andy Reid, we're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, but first we're going to talk about something that the Chiefs are doing, a thing that's actually happening that is at least a little bit surprising. Ian Rappaport tweeted today that veteran free agent cornerback Orlando Scandrick, released by Washington earlier today. Wow, today's been a long day. Rappaport said that Scandrick is already drawing significant interest on the market. Source said the Chiefs are the first team to bring him in for a visit, and he's flying there tonight. Airplane flying emoji. Actually in the tweet. And I think this is really interesting. Scandrick was largely released from Washington because it wasn't going to be worth the money. He's going to make $500,000 this year and next year in dead cap space. It frees up about $2 million this year, even though this was his first season in Washington, and it frees up like $4 million next year. So it's not stunning that Washington would move on from him with those numbers. It is very surprising that they basically gave him $1 million to go through training camp. And so I think the concerns there can be pretty obvious. He's a smidgen past his prime. But the Chiefs are in a position where I think it makes a ton of sense to be kicking the tires on every available cornerback. But it's weird to me that the Chiefs are doing it. Because they at least brought in Bashaud Breeland and are bringing in Orlando Scandrick. Breeland still hasn't signed anywhere, by the way. I don't know if he's off the board yet. But they brought in Breeland and Scandrick, which I think was the right thing to do. But they did it after largely ignoring the cornerback spot in free agency in the draft. I'm glad that they're doing this. But it's weirdly inconsistent for a front office that I think we can usually see smart patterns from. And so the Chiefs, before free agency, signed David Amerson. And they traded for Kendall Fuller in what was really the Alex Smith trade. And they traded away Marcus Peters. And in the draft, they did not take a cornerback until the 6th round when they took Tre'Mon Smith, who seems to be the Chiefs' return guy and a developmental corner. And if you count Peters and Fuller as a wash, or for me, count them as a slight downgrade for the Chiefs, but whatever, if you want to be optimistic, you have to call it a wash, that's fine. What do the Chiefs do to improve their cornerback group this year? They brought in a guy that was cut before free agency, a Raiders cast off. And then they signed, they drafted a cornerback in the 6th round. Like every team does that in 2018. Like every team brings in a low-level free agent and drafts a guy in the 6th round whenever you're trying to just make sure you have enough cornerbacks. Like, that's just sort of how this works. If you're not loaded already, you draft a guy late, you sign a guy in free agency, maybe you do both. And the Chiefs did that after their number two cornerback spot was a liability last year. In a way, they added Steven Nelson coming back from injury now, but I mean, he was around. He's just now sort of fully back. I guess is the thought. And they're replacing Peters with Fuller, not by doing the same job, but just, you know, in the roster spot as their number one corner. But it's really strange that a team that last year found itself relying on Darrell Revis this offseason thought that they weren't in good enough shape by getting David Amerson and Tre'Mont Smith. That didn't make any sense to me. And several guys slipped past them in the actual draft. In fact, there were a lot of them. They passed on four cornerbacks in the NFL draft that went between their pick of Breland Speaks and 58, which was Isaiah Oliver, a guy that I would have expected to go higher in that draft. When they traded up for Speaks, I thought they might have been trading up for Oliver. Oliver was there at 58. And again, there were four corners between their pick where they traded up to go get Breland Speaks and 58. Four went in that range, including Oliver. So, I've been saying basically the same thing about the cornerback group for a while now. I was glad when they signed Amerson because I thought he could have been your third or fourth guy, depending on if Steven Nelson is your third or fourth guy. I think Nelson and Amerson both rotate through as a three or four just fine. Like, for all of the times that it sounded like I hate David Amerson, it's really just that I think he can be a three or four whenever you're happy with your one or two, one and two. So if Amerson was your third guy because Fuller and Peters were your 1-2, hell yeah, let's party. Or Steven Nelson is your 3 because Fuller and Peters are your 1-2. Party on. Other dudes, your 4. This is great. Tre'Mont Smith's your 5. Dope. Even if Isaiah Oliver is your number 2 guy and Steven Nelson's a 3, Amerson's a 4, Amerson's a 3, Nelson's a 4, whatever. And I think Steven Nelson has a higher ceiling than David Amerson. I don't think it is unreasonable or impossible to think that Steven Nelson cannot be a number two cornerback in this league. I think he might end up getting there. But I don't love that bet. So I'm happy that the Chiefs went and looked at Bashaud Breland, brought him in for like 36 hours, had him staying in the veteran dorms. He has now avoided training camp, so I think he will sign soon. But I thought he would sign soon last time that he was doing all this. Skandrick, to me, doesn't feel like enough of an upgrade over Amerson for it to be really, really worth it. I mean, he is. We over on Almost Entirely Sports earlier today, we looked at the Pro Football Focus rankings of him and everything. Skandrick was not great, but he was better than Amerson. And so it's, you know, a slight upgrade. It's not an upgrade over Steven Nelson, would be my guess. As he's a slight upgrade over Amerson, not quite an upgrade over Steven Nelson. Helps your depth, probably for a decent price, but that's as good as you're going to get. The thing that is brought up as a counterpoint to my confusion is usually, well, maybe they got to training camp. And, you know, the Chiefs were surprised that some of their guys didn't develop like they would. So now they're looking at Breland and Skandrick. And I think if that is what actually happened, that's bad news for Brett Veach. And by the way, I'm saying ahead of time, I don't think that's what actually happened. But if it is what happened, here's what that means. If that's what happened, then the Chiefs are in a rough spot because they couldn't evaluate their own cornerback talent until they got the training camp. I mean, every team has to do that. How do they evaluate all their other talent without seeing them actually out there? You know what I'm saying? Like, that seems like a weird thing to assume that the Chiefs didn't realize that they were in a pretty dire situation as far as their cornerbacks. Because chasing after Breland and Skandrick, it feels like the move of a desperate team a little bit. Not trade away Marcus Peters and then Kendall Fuller tore his ACL kind of desperate. But, oh God, yeah, we really could use some more guys. Boy, this whole NFL season thing really snuck up on us. That kind of desperate. That kind of like, ooh, yeah. Anybody left? We really missed it. Breland? Great. Nope, not interested. Okay, Skandrick? Fine. And so I don't think that the Chiefs are even wrong to be in that mode. I just think it's a rough look to look at this offseason and go, oh, do the Chiefs not see this coming? I think they know who they've got in that room. I really do. But it makes the actual answer here really hard for me to find. Maybe they overestimated how good Steven Nelson or David Emerson were going to be, but if they did, that's a shame. Because I didn't. I didn't overestimate those guys, and I'm glad that they went and signed David Emerson. I really am. Because imagine this team without him. But it's just so strange to me that they didn't go after somebody in free agency. And those options weren't quite as deep as the guys they could have gotten in the draft. And I get maybe the truest thing is that all of the guys within striking distance in free agency weren't worth the money in their minds. And all the guys in that range of the draft weren't worth passing on Breland Speaks or weren't worth trading up as much as they would have needed to. But man, it feels like a bummer. It's going to feel like a bummer if that's the thing. If that's the thing that, you know, keeps this defense from being as good as it could be. Also, like, we still have the whole Marcus Peters getting traded thing that just, like, I know drives me crazy. Like, I don't know if the Chiefs would have traded Alex Smith to Washington for Kendall Fuller in that third round pick. If they would have thought they wouldn't be able to move Marcus Peters, I guess. But it frustrates me. So, yeah. Going and getting David Emerson and drafting Tre'Mont Smith, those are the moves of a team who needs a distant number three or a quality number four guy and the developmental guy. Not a team that would also be looking at Bashaud Breland and Orlando Skandrick partway through or at the very end of training camp. That's where my concern fully lands. And maybe these guys end up being valuable depth. I had a lot of people tweeting some ideas with that. Somebody said, I think that they wanted to see what they had during training camp in that department, found how much help they would need, and are now acting on it. Plus, the price might be lower as well. And so the value could be there. The price could be lower for both of those guys. So I half agree with that. But that's why it's still a bad sign if this team didn't realize that the depth wasn't there, that the quality wasn't there. I wasn't surprised by that. It's unsettling to think that might be what's behind it. And I don't really think that it is. But I don't really have a good answer. Usually whenever I ask a question for 15 minutes, I usually want to follow it up with an answer, what I think the answer is. But I'm really not sure. I'd be more excited about Bashaud Breland than I would be Orlando Skandrick. I would rather them bring in Orlando Skandrick than nobody. But I'm also starting to see that maybe they've got less confidence in their position than I have heard them say they do. But man, we were hearing Brett Veach talk about Will Redmond and Keith Reeser like before the draft. Because everyone was like, oh yeah, this team needs some corners, right? It's like, I don't know, we got some guys that we like. We like Will Redmond and Keith Reeser. All right, Brett, cool. I don't think those guys are going to be a part of this team outside of maybe some special teams. So I'm glad that they're kicking the tires on Breland and Skandrick. I would prefer Breland without any question. But the timing behind it is pretty weird. This is Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. It's the last edition of this 2018 training camp season because today was the last edition of training camp out in St. Joseph, Missouri. But whenever we come back, we will hear from the two members of the Chiefs who spoke today, head coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, both of those guys in their entirety coming up next here on Chiefs Central. Covered today's big story, the Chiefs bringing in Orlando Scandrick for a workout, flying here tonight, probably in Kansas City right now, frankly. Depends on the timeline of what Ian Rappaport was tweeting. Well, the Chiefs also wrapped up training camp today out in St. Joseph, Missouri. So this is the last edition of Chiefs Central as currently constituted. We'll be around plenty, talking plenty of Chiefs in and around this time for the rest of time, if all things break well. But we did hear from just two people from St. Joe today, but it was the two people that I think we all want to hear about and hear from. It was Patrick Mahomes, we'll hear from in just a minute, and head coach Andy Reid. And the main story, I think, of the last couple of weeks has really been about the injuries, and as he is one to do, Andy Reid started off his presser today talking about the injuries.
All right, just on the injury front, the guys that didn't practice today, Alan Bailey didn't practice. He's got a sore knee, should be fine. He banged knees yesterday, and again, it should be fine. Reeser didn't practice, same injury. Then Charkhandrick, same thing, didn't practice. Eric Berry, same thing, didn't practice. Tardif didn't practice. Jimmy Murray didn't practice, same, nothing new there. Sorensen didn't practice, and then Damian Williams didn't practice. All the same things as before. We'll just evaluate everybody as we go forward for the game. As far as the quarterbacks go, and that's kind of how the rest of the team goes, as far as play time, we'll go a half with the ones, and then the twos will take the second quarter, and the third quarter, and then the threes will take the fourth quarter. Great to have the military out here today. I wish we could have had a better day, but they made it good. So they made the rain shine today. So it was great having them here. They bring a great spirit with them. I love seeing our players with them, and our players love intermingling and talking with them and taking pictures and autographs the best we could without waterproof pens. So we, but it was a good day. Time's yours.
Especially the context of last year, how would you describe your level of concern with Eric Berry and that injury?
Yeah, we're being cautious with it and trying to be smart. Eric's been playing a long time, and so he's doing a great job of communicating to us, how he feels, and we'll just keep easing him in and see where we're at with that.
Is that informing or changing the way that you deal with this at all, considering last year and what happened?
We have a better idea now. So we didn't have that the same deal as last year. But anyways, it gives us an opportunity here to do it this way.
Coach, you're packing up, heading back to Kansas City. Do you feel you accomplished everything here you wanted?
Yeah. Well, it's like a little bit like being a farmer, like the work's never done. So we still have a lot of work to do. But I appreciated the effort and the things that we did get done, the improvement of the young guys here. Missouri Western State University, I appreciate them and the way they treat us. They give us an opportunity to get out here and be able to focus in on playing, and they feed us and they house us and they keep these fields beautiful. So my hat goes off to them. But to answer your question, I feel like we've got a lot accomplished. We've got plenty of work to do, though.
Could have gone inside today. Why stay out there?
Yeah, this is a great day. So as long as there's not lightning, I like going out. It gives the quarterback an opportunity and receivers with the wet ball. Gives a long snapper, the holder, and the kicker an opportunity, or punter in this case today, an opportunity to work with it, and kicker. He kicked today. So all those defensive backs focusing in on the ball and catching the wet ball without having to dip it in a bucket of water or anything. It was all natural here. So.
And you're curious about three guys and whether they're going to play in Atlanta, Hitchens, Ragland, and McQuay?
We'll just see how it goes here. We got a few days here, so. Let's just see how they do, we'll get it to you, whenever we have it. So.
I know you didn't want to talk about it a couple months ago. It was Military Day. Do you have an official anthem policy with your players? Have you addressed them?
No, listen, the league, which is great. This is a good thing. The league and the Players Association are talking now, which is great. And so everything's on hold, and I'm glad they're talking about it. And, whatever they come up with, we'll both parties, I think it's just a win-win.
The second Albert Wilson left, he knelt in his first game. Did you know he had an inclination to do that? Did you keep him from doing that last year?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Coach, Andrew Wiley, I know we spent a little time here last year. Just what have you seen from him so far at camp to get this opportunity? Yeah, so Andrew, he's been one of those pleasant surprises coming in. He's really done a nice job for us. We played him a guard and a tackle, and he's working in at the right guard position. So right now, while Larry was out, so I think that's good work for him. But most of all, he's showing that he can play. I'm curious to see him in a game situation in there, and let's see what he can do. You know, but he's done very well at practice here.
You saw Colquitt kick an extra point yesterday. Was that just working on a worst-case scenario?
Yeah, so it was our Buckers day off, and so that's kind of our emergency group. You had Kel Snappin and Conley Holden and then Dustin kicking. So, but you need to get that work in somewhere, and that on the kicker's day off, that's a good day to do it.
Coach, if it was up to you, would you want to return to Missouri Western for training camp next season? And kind of are you still wanting to get away for
game? I'd go off the statement I made. I love what they give us here, and the effort that they put forward is tremendous. I don't do all the other stuff. I'm not the one that I coach, and they do their deal, but they sure treat us good. Yeah. Good, great guys. People. Great people here.
What do you – Patrick will get a couple of quarters in here this time. What sort of things do you want to see from him?
Yeah, just to keep – just to work the offense, you know, I mean, in its simplest form. So continue to – work your reads, progressions, run game situations, and so on. So just another opportunity to get some reps in and work.
You weren't very happy with the offensive line, the first-team offensive line after the game last time. They missed a few assignments. This is obviously a big chance for them to get more work in as well. You're not going to have LDT out there. Is it? I mean, you'd rather have everybody, but can you get the work done need?
Yeah, listen, we don't worry about all that. Whoever's there, I expect them to do their thing, and I'm a little hard on the two lines, both sides of the ball, and I know how important it is that both those sides play well. I mean, nobody else can do their job without that group, both those sides playing. So, you know, we're always striving to do a little better.
That's Andy Reid out in St. Joe today. No need to adjust your radios or earbuds or whatever. You're not hearing static. That was rain. It was a very wet, rainy day out in St. Joe. They did practice outside. You heard Andy Reid mention that a little bit, that he likes the ability to go out there whenever you're not dealing with lightning. As long as you're not dealing with lightning, it gives you a chance to work in some adverse conditions, and that's good for the team. So they did practice outside. The main couple of things there is the laundry list of injuries at the beginning. This guy didn't play, same reason. This guy didn't play, dinged up. This guy didn't play. Like, that went on for 45 minutes. And it's going into the second preseason game. So right now, I'm not panicking. And you also learned that they're going to see a first half from the starters. You heard that brought in there a couple times towards the beginning and also towards the end of that clip. They're going to get a whole half of the starting teams, whatever that is, health-wise. It will be Patrick Mahomes. I'm also curious to see which quarterback gets the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be a half of Mahomes, the third quarter of Henney, and I don't know if it's going to be Litton or McGloin, or maybe a little bit of both in that fourth quarter. Henney and McGloin. Nope, Litton and McGloin. I think I said it right the first time, then I corrected myself wrongly. It's Mahomes for a half, Henney for the third, probably, and then probably McGloin for the fourth, but I'd like to see Chase Litton. I also wonder if Andy Reid would acknowledge that Henney is good, and then he could give the third quarter to one of those quarterbacks and the fourth to the other. I don't know. I'll be interested to see if maybe Litton gets a chance to take some snaps from McGloin. He's more interesting because he's a rookie. As far as all the injuries go, and we talked about this over on Almost Entirely Sports. If you want to go grab the podcast wherever you get it, or we'll play some of this probably for you tomorrow night on Sports Night. We talked to Brooke Pryor of the Kansas City Star about it a little bit, about all the injuries and everything. Trying to figure out which ones are worth worrying about and which ones aren't. And a lot of the little dinged up guys I'm not that worried about. Hitchens and Dorian O'Daniel and even Ragland. Ragland's up there a little bit more than some of those other ones where it just seems like it's a hand or it's a bruise or it's an ache or it's this. Those don't really worry me. Ragland's knee puffing up because of a plane ride is horrifying, but it seems like the Chiefs aren't terribly worried on that front. LDT having a concussion is bad. If he gets another concussion during the season, it will be worse. But he'll be back in time for the regular season. I don't know what's going on with Damian Williams' shoulder. Chiefs haven't told us yet. It's a shoulder that he had surgery on previously, but for a different issue. We don't know exactly what's happening there. The Chiefs did sign a free agent running back a couple days ago to come in to take some of those snaps, to be a guy who can carry the ball in the preseason. Whenever you get to the fourth quarter, you don't want to just be handing the ball to Anthony Sherman constantly. So I'm guessing that's the logic there. We don't know, though, if that's going to be a long-term concern for Williams. Because if Damian Williams is badly hurt and doesn't end up being on this team, it's not going to go to the guy they just signed. It'll go to Kerwin Williams or Charkandrick West, maybe Darrell Williams. They have a bunch of Williamses to choose from, though. I'm worried about Eric Berry. I'm not freaking out. I'm not panic button smacking, but I'm not worried. I'm a little worried. I still don't know which heel it is, by the way. But the options for Eric Berry are either that his heel is sore. He has a sore heel, which is connected to your Achilles tendon. Because, you know, Achilles' mother dipped him into, like, the magical water, and they held him by his heel. Achilles' mother in the myth, you know, held baby Achilles by the heel, dipped him into the magical water, and then pulled him out. And then later in life, he was shot in the heel, and that's what killed him. I think it was, like, a poison arrow or something. And that's where you get the phrase Achilles' heel. And I'm afraid that right now that Eric Berry's Achilles heel might be his Achilles or heel. And it's this year for Eric Berry, it's either soreness in the heel that was sore last training camp, or it's soreness in the heel just below the Achilles that he tore last year.
I thought we heard that it was the one that was sore in training camp last year, not the one below the Achilles that he tore.
I don't know that to be true.
Okay, I thought...
If you can find that, and we can say that after we hear from Patrick Mahomes in a second, that'd be great. Okay. I have looked around in a couple different places where outlets that I assume would have said which heel it was, and I have not found that to be true yet. I'll go ahead and hedge my bets now while we Google that, while we listen to Patrick Mahomes here in a second. I will hedge my bets now and say that if it's the Achilles that was sore last year, or excuse me, if it's the heel, if it's the heel that was sore last year, it's not great. Because he has soreness that he had a calendar year ago. And that was then followed by probably an unrelated tear of his opposite Achilles. Which isn't awesome, because I wonder if any sort of favoring has anything to do with it. I don't know. I'm not an Achilles doctor. And if it's the one that's below the Achilles that was just repaired surgically, it's not great either. I might be more worried, though, about his other Achilles, just because of the number of times that one seems to go and then the other one goes next time they have to play professional football. If it's with Achilles or knees or whatever, that's just, that kind of thing concerns me. Also, the idea of an Achilles injury on a personal level has horrified me for most of my life. I can't think of a more horrible sound than your Achilles tendon popping. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Everybody right now, I don't care unless you're driving, feel your Achilles tendon. Just point your foot up a little bit and feel your Achilles tendon. That is tense. There is tension there. That is strained. Especially if you stand up and it's there. Tendon. Football players tear that sometimes. That's horrifying. All right, let's stop talking about Achilles tendons and let's do something way more pleasant, and let's hear from Patrick Mahomes. His last appearance in training camp this year at St. Joe, as the Chiefs shut down camp earlier today, Patrick Mahomes gave one more talk.
Yeah, I mean, it was really fun. I mean, it's the last day here in St. Joe's, and everybody's excited to get out there and just have a great day. And then, I mean, you get the rain, and you get a lot of great work in with the rain, and hopefully preparing yourself for whenever the season, if you get a rain game or something like that.
When's the last time you practiced in a rain that was coming down this hard?
I don't know if I've ever practiced. Oh, I changed my mind. At Tech, we didn't have an indoor, so if it rained there, we still practiced outside. So They have the indoor now, of course, but when I was there was no indoor, so I think sophomore year we had a pretty good rain, but I mean, it was pretty tough today.
What kind of things can you get out of practice in the rain? I mean, concentration and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, you try to make the more difficult throws today, especially in practice like we had today, because you want to see what you can do in these rain games. I mean, that's what Coach Reed said to me right when we came out here, just make the difficult throw all day. And I try to do that. And, I mean, it rains in the NFL. It rains on game days. You have to be prepared for every situation.
Was it great to see the military and the NFL players come together in solidarity? I know you guys do this every year, but given the tenor of what's happening with players kneeling and such, was it good to see these guys, you guys, get together, take selfies and the like?
Yeah, I mean, as NFL players, we always supported the military. I mean, that's something that has never changed. It's something that we've always supported those people and everything that they sacrificed for us. And to have them out here is always great, to show the support they show for us as well. I mean, it's something that you really appreciate everything they do.
This is your second preseason game coming up. You have a little more time out there. What is it you are wanting to see from yourself after getting your clip up or last year?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you get to go out there, have a little bit more time, hopefully get into a rhythm and get some scoring drives, something we didn't have last week with the first team offense is any score. So you want to go out there and score. At the same time, you want to make sure that you're, like I said, all camp, you're efficient. You get in and out of the huddle. You make the right checks at the line. You get the right protection calls and hopefully just have positive gains.
I feel like because of the pass protection problems the other night that you were ever really able to get into the things you wanted to do?
I didn't think the pass protection was as bad as I guess some people had said it was. I mean, I was getting the ball out. I was throwing the ball. I only took one sack, and I stepped up into Schwartz's guy that he was blocking. So, I mean, anytime you can go out there and you can get the ball out of your hands and hopefully we can make some plays. I mean, for us now, it's just about making some bigger plays, keeping drives going. I feel like as we would start to go and fizzle out, so now we're just going to try to sustain these drives and score points.
Every year at the beginning of camp, you guys talk about this, when you come together, you spend all this time together. Just how do you feel like the team kind of came together and all the work that you guys were able to do the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the team, we really came together as just like a team and just as players. I mean, we really wanted to make sure that we built that chemistry on and off the field, because when you see those really special teams, they're a tight bond and tight team chemistry guys.
Patrick, how much is Travis Cassie in your ear? In the huddle, sideline, going, how much has he taught to you, sort of been a motivating sort of leader for you?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great leader for the whole entire offense. He's one of the most veteran guys on our offense, and he's a guy who he wants to win. He comes out here every single day, and he works hard, and he pushes himself as well as others to be great, and that's something that I truly just inspire to see with him, and I want to get to the level where I'm as inspiring as he is.
What does he say to you that makes you smile, laugh, or get you a little more focused? Because he does it quite a bit, I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about a lot of stuff. I mean, you know Kelson. He's a funny guy. But, I mean, just the positive energy that he always has, I think, is the biggest thing. I mean, he's always positive. He's always trying to get the guys going. Even when we're at the end of training camp and guys' legs are tired, he's going to bring it so everybody else has to match his intensity, and that's the biggest thing.
A couple more, guys. The season's long. It starts off really quick and kind of a consistent grind in training camp. Do you have anything that you can get your mind off football, like any downtime here?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of downtime. I mean, we're going right into the preseason games, and then we have two more preseason games that I'll probably play in, and then the last one I'll be able to start preparing for the Chargers and doing those things. So, I mean, right now I'm just going to really focus in on this next opponent, but, I mean, there's not a lot of downtime. It's all football now.
When this, you know, whole transition started, the news kind of broke that Alex was going to be traded, and it took for a while for it to be official. And this, how has this whole thing gone for you? I mean, you feel like you're the leader of the Chiefs now, or how's that gone? You feel more like that now that you've been through a couple weeks of camp?
I mean, I definitely have a bigger voice just being in the starting quarterback role, but there's so many leaders on this team. There's so many leaders and so many guys that have stepped up, as well as I've tried to step up and be more vocal. And when you have a team of leaders and guys are following and guys are doing the right things, I mean, that's the teams that have a lot of success.
Sammy Watkins was a big target out there on the field, but he didn't get targeted in that last game against Houston. Do you feel like you're able to find him, not only on the practice field, but out there on the field as well?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a guy with that much of talent and that much caliber of talent, you're going to find him. I mean, we're in the preseason. I think he only had like 8 snaps, so I mean, he didn't get one a target in that game. But I'm positive that he'll get a few whenever the season comes on.
It's Patrick Mahomes at a very rainy St. Joseph, Missouri earlier today. The offense coming together will be supremely interesting. We've talked about it so much. I'm so ready to see it actually happen on a large scale. Earlier today, I'm just going to keep plugging Almost Entirely Sports and ESPN Kansas City. Everybody drink, it's fine. But we were talking to Seth Kaiser from The Athletic over there today, and we came together on the analogy of we had just been so thirsty for a drink of water, right? We had been just crawling through a footballless desert, and they got the first couple drives of that preseason game. Training camp was a couple raindrops falling from the sky. That was amazing. And then you get to the preseason game, and you start slurping out of a hose. And then after that sort of quenched your thirst for a moment, you realize, oh, gross, I'm drinking warm hose water. This isn't really what I'd like. I'd much prefer something chilled, perhaps through a filter of some sort. There's a bug in this, and it's warm, and there's no offensive scheming going into it. And I think I ran those together at some point. But that's the difference. That's where we're at right now. We're drinking warm hose water. Now I'm ready for the real thing. Nice cold glass of regular season football. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the show both for tonight and for the long term coming up next year on Chief Central. Welcome back to the Chief Central here on Sports Radio 810. The last few minutes of Chief Central, at least for training camp. Maybe it shows up again some other time. I have no idea. I'll be around to host it if anybody wants it. But we'll see. I don't know. I think Chief Concerns will be back soon. And I'm on Sports Night tomorrow night and Chiefs Post on Friday. So we will make sure you have plenty of Chiefs content coming out of this particular mouth, these vocal cords, for the foreseeable future. Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus, who has a lot of very good tweets, tweeted, quote tweeting Ian Rappaport, "Feel like the Chiefs would be better served to draft cornerbacks reasonably high and make it work when the guy picks off like 20 passes in his first 3 years. Or recycle older guys." Then someone responded with, "Yeah, because that guy had no issues or history being kicked off a team because he couldn't listen and get along with coaches. So yeah, it's all the Chiefs' fault." And then Eric responded with, "Great original thought there. I'm glad you have David Emerson now." He also, just with like, I'm still not totally over losing Marcus Peters, obviously. But here's just with the guys that are currently on the roster, here's something that Eager points out. "Emerson has had one good season his entire career. Same for Nelson and Fuller. They have no one behind them who has played an NFL game. It's a three-corner league, and they'll be lucky to have two good ones. The point is, Revis, Mitchell, Skandrick, etc. approach is silly." That right there is the thing I've been trying to say for like 6 months. It's a three-corner league. I think they've got one good one in Fuller, and then they'll be lucky if Nelson is good and Emerson's passable or vice versa. Also, none of those guys can get hurt. Not that your number one or two guy can usually get hurt, but whenever we're talking about David Emerson, a guy that the Raiders sent away, it's weird for that dude to be irreplaceable. That's a real concern for me. I'm I'm troubled by that. And even with Bashaud Breeland, it goes for me, it goes back to the draft. I said this earlier. There were, I think, four guys between Breeland Speaks and pick like 58. All the cornerback, four corners, including Isaiah Oliver, who I thought they might have been trading up for, who actually would have been there with their original pick. So instead of waiting for him to get there or trading up and taking him right after Josh Jackson from Iowa went, which I think is how that all shook out, they traded up and took Breeland Speaks. He might be a fine football player. I don't know. It's not really about Breeland Speaks. It's that I'm looking at these corners and this team that last year went through Terrence Mitchell and Darrell Revis and a little bit of Steven Nelson and now has swapped that out for a lot of Steven Nelson and David Amerson and Tramon Smith and Keith Reiser and Will Redmond, these guys that keep getting brought up that I don't think deserve to be brought up as guys that you are comfortable with as a starter. That kind of blows, man. I don't know how you could possibly feel good about it. That's going to do it for us here, though, on Chiefs Central on Sports Radio 810. Thank you for listening as we've been here with you throughout training camp. I'm Joshua Briscoe. If you want to hear more from me at any point, you can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Thanks, Charlie Carlin, for running the show tonight and for many of these nights. We'll be back. I'll be back filling in for Cody on Sports Tonight tomorrow. Also, I think I got a whole bunch of other stuff going on tomorrow, and I'll have a Chiefs postgame on Friday. So let's look ahead to what's happening on Friday. Stay tuned in here to Sports Radio 810. Talk to you next time.